Blog Talk Radio.
You already know the best.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dev, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot
I command that dude.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show and keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Both with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war ain't Kuwait. It's the war room with five nights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Thursday, September 8th, 2011, and we'd like to welcome you sports fans to a very special episode of 365 Days of Heat and Counting. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports, and it's our anniversary! We debuted on September 9th of last year. 56 episodes later, we are still bringing the heat. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm here with the War Room Generals, Akil Bayon, Jimmy Williams, Austin, and Paul Johnson. Tonight, we're going to go down memory lane and reminisce on some of our favorite moments from the past year. And after that, just like our first show last year, we're going to be talking football, football, and more football. We're going to get you ready for the NFL season, which kicks off right after the show. So stay and celebrate with us, and then go get your popcorn ready, because the 2011 NFL season is sure to be a doozy. While you're here with us, jump in that chat room at blogtalkradio.com/the war room or join us on Facebook or Twitter to talk some smack with us tonight. Also, jump on the horn and call in when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline and tell us what's on your mind. That number is 323-410-0012. We're going to be showing love all evening to everyone who contributed to making the War Room possible. We're going to start out with the fans. Without you guys, we are absolutely nothing. There's no use talking smack on the radio for 2 hours every week if no one's listening. So shout out to anyone who has ever listened to 5 seconds of the War Room, and much love to the loyal listeners of the show. Secondly, we want to give a shout out to all our sponsors. Without you, we couldn't even afford to stay on the air. So special thanks to JW Philly Realty, Philly Auto Design, Bay Financial Service, Days of Beauty, Digital Extreme Technology. Keep cutting those checks, and we're going to keep doing what we do. Out of our gas. For this long, it's birthday time. It's my birthday, yay! Alright, fellas, y'all ready to do this?
Yeah,
yeah, the song was banging. I was ready to hear him say, Victoria would be... Yo, he's killing it, John, yo. Tony,
Yo, and I don't think none of their names was
my
Tony.
Go ahead, though, good brother.
Alright, so the first birthday shout-out we got today is one Brianna Colette Scurry, turns 40
my
today.
Birthday. Yay!
I'm gonna go to Austin on this one. Brianna Scurry.
She was nice. I mean, definitely a nice goalie. Played on the Olympic team. Was actually on a World Cup team in '95 that placed third. Won a gold medal in '96 in the Olympics. World Cup champion in '99. World Cup third place in '03. Olympic gold medal in 04, and then she had a pretty extensive professional career as a goalkeeper for the Atlanta Beat and the Washington Freedom. So she just recently retired from the game, actually last year. So now she's going to step into the broadcast booth for ESPN. So, I mean, she's had a heck of a career. I'm not going to run through all her accomplishments, but shout out to you, Ms. Scurry, and happy birthday.
All right, now y'all see why I went to B. Austin first. I got nothing to add to that. Anybody else? Or y'all just want to move on?
Oh, I know she plays soccer. Other than her playing soccer, I'm not familiar with her body of work.
Bayon, you good?
B. Austin just educated everything I ever knew about Brianna Scurry. I was not familiar with her body of work, so let's move on.
All right, well, happy birthday, Brianna Scurry. Our next birthday. Matter of fact, her birthday was yesterday. Our next birthday was from yesterday also, and this is a show favorite, Mr. Kevin Wesley Love. Kevin Love turned 23 years old. Well, he turned 23 yesterday, Jimmy. Kevin Love.
Let my people go. Kevin Love, a.k.a. White Moses, yo. Kevin Love has one of the highest basketball IQs of any big man, Paul's in the NBA. And he reminds me of a young Moses Malone, the way he crashes the boards.
Yeah. During the season, we ended up speaking a lot about Kevin Love because he had, you know, sort of a breakout season where he was just putting up monster numbers. So, you know, I'm looking forward to see him continuing that if the NBA gets this lockout situation together. That's all I got. So be Austin. Kevin Love.
I'm sad that we don't have my brother PJ here to do the song. But yeah, he is the white Moses Malone with a little bit more range actually, because he can step out to 24 feet and knock that long ball down too. He is proof. I want young people to watch his game because he is proof that jumping real high and running real fast is way overrated to being a great basketball player. Got to know the game and the fundamentals.
Dr. Bayon, Kevin Love.
Yeah, I remember I had that apology shout-out to Kevin Love, and like Dios has said, he proves that the NBA Combine can be well overrated. And, y'all didn't know this, but maybe y'all did, but he just started doing yoga a couple of years ago, and now, bam, you know, he's an all-star. So I'm not saying the yoga is the reason why he's an all-star, but it might be something to it.
Cool. All right, so that's Kevin Love. Our next birthday is a Philly favorite from the 1983 championship team, Mr. Maurice Edward Cheeks.
My birthday, yay!
Jimmy, Maurice Cheeks.
Yo, the fact that Maurice Cheeks is turning 55 means that I'm getting old, because I remember watching him play as a kid. Mo Cheeks had major game, and I remember him dunking when they won the chip. I'll never forget that, because Mo Cheeks never dunked the rock. So Mo Cheeks had major game. He's one of the best point guards in terms of stealing the rock, too. He used to pluck cats, like, constantly.
Yeah, you can't dribble the ball in front of Mo Cheeks. Yo, my middle name is Maurice, and my pop always told me that I was named after him. But when I go back and do the math, it don't really add up. But I'm going to just go ahead with the story anyway. Austin, Mo Cheeks.
I think that aside from basketball, what I know of Mo Cheeks, his middle name is Get The. That's actually two, but you can put it together. I think his middle name is Get The because, yo, he put in a lot of work off the court with the ladies around the Philadelphia area and had major game.
I wasn't going to comment on that, but I've heard those same rumors.
Dr. Bayon, Mo Cheeks.
Everything the rest of y'all said, yeah, I heard those rumors too about Cheeks. I guess, trying to live out his name, his last name. But when he dunked, they said that was the first time he ever dunked. Now, I don't know if that's true. Maybe that's the first time he ever dunked in the game, but in that championship game, he threw it down. And he's like the epitome of a point guard. Now, you know, Magic Johnson was 6'9", and then some point guards are just ridiculously fast or like animals like Derrick Rose. But in terms of like your solid, can do everything that you need point guard, Mo Cheeks is like the perfect mold. So there you go.
I'm saying that was the first time he won a championship. So, you know, a lot of firsts probably came that night. He probably did a whole lot of stuff strange with some chicks for some change. So, I think a whole lot of firsts went down that night. So we're just going to move on from Mo Cheeks because he nasty.
My birthday, yay!
Our last one is another former 76er, Mr. Clarence Weatherspoon. Go to Jimmy on
My
Clarence
birthday,
Weatherspoon.
Yay!
Yo, when I think of Clarence Weatherspoon, I think of Charles Barkley. Yo, I wish PJ was here now, because yo, we were at PJ's crib when we were younger, and Clarence Weatherspoon was in the dunk contest, and I remember Barkley saying the craziest line out of his mouth. He was like, "Clarence Weatherspoon got nice legs and a big butt to help him jump high," and we looked at each other like, "What the hell is Chuck talking about?" Yo, but Spoon actually had game, but the fact that he followed Barkley in Philly, a lot of people didn't respect his game because we were used to Barkley, like, putting up crazy numbers. And,
right.
You know, Spoon didn't get the respect. Spoon was actually a good player.
You're right. And it wasn't just that he followed Barkley. He was getting major comparisons to Barkley. He was supposed to be the 6'7 Charles Barkley. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, he looked like
he did have a pretty
too.
Good game, but he was like a quiet dude. I don't know if I ever remember hearing Clarence Weatherspoon's voice.
Yeah, he was supposed Chris to be Gatling, at one time. You know, Chris Gatling was in
yeah.
Chris Gatling was like that too. Put up numbers and don't talk, and you don't even realize that they put up these kind of numbers. But they, you know, he had
yeah,
game though.
Chris Gatling, he shake dudes' hands after they bang on him. So he was Spoon didn't look like he was exerting much effort when he jumped. He just looked like he floated to the rim. He did have hops. Kill. What do you remember about Clarence Weatherspoon?
I remember for a couple of years or a few years in the NBA in his prime, he led the league in getting his shot blocked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. we just built him up. Kill just tore him down.
I know.
No, he was nice though. I mean, don't get me wrong. He definitely had game. I think he garnered one All-Star appearance, right? Did he garner one?
I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, you know.
And he represented in a dunk contest, and I mean, you know, he was a tough player. But,
he never visited the land of All Stars.
Not even like a third injury fill-in.
Nah, a third.
All right, y'all stop killing Spoon, man. Spoon was all right, man.
Yeah, go ahead, Austin. What do you remember about Spoon, except for
now,
the All Star?
To be honest, Spoon is one of them dudes that kind of stuck around too long because, you know, for the first, like, I'd say the first 5 years of his career, he was like a 16, 17 point per game score. So he definitely was not a bum at all. But as y'all say, he followed Chuck, and the comparisons were always there that followed his career. He was an okay player. He was okay. I mean, he played for us. So, you know, I'm probably biased. Probably think he's better than he was. And we gave him an inch at 6'7" because he was really 6'6" and probably closer to 6'5".
That's probably why he was compared to Barkley so much. He had the same story.
Right.
But
yeah.
All right.
Yo,
so,
check this out. Hey, check this out. He was he was a nice pick. So I guess he was supposed to be better. But his biggest career NBA highlight was second team All Rookie Team.
All right. Well,
yeah, but the season after that, he put up like 18-10, so he wasn't no bum.
Yeah.
All right, man, we talking
yeah.
about Spoon, though.
Right, yeah,
move
I was
on.
About to say, hey, that's Clarence Weatherspoon, man. So, birthday, Jimmy Gunn. By the way, birthdays were brought to y'all by Days of Beauty Hair Salon. That's 9221 Oxon Hill Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. Now, Jimmy's going to tell everybody what happened today and every other day this week while y'all were on the ground.
Absolutely. While You on the Grind is brought to you by Philly Auto Design. It's time to get your rims and your car looking right because some of y'all got some effed up looking cars. Anyway, listen, though.
Ooh.
What happened while we were on the ground? Before I jump into these headlines, I also want to say happy birthday to Star Trek, to all the to Trekkies out there, because Star Trek aired for the first time today in 1966. I just happened to come across that, and, you know, I'm a geek, so shout out to y'all. Anyway, and it's still on the air. Ain't that crazy? But, yo. The headlines, a plane crash kills a hockey team in Russia. I don't know if you guys have read anything about this story, but, you know, it's a sad story. Any thoughts on this this tragedy?
Oh, I was sad watching the coverage of that, man. I'm not big in the international hockey, but, you know, they lost the whole squad. And the worst part about it is, you know, they actually showed the team picture and had that on the screen for a little while, and that's when you kind of, you know, it kind of hit you like, yo, we just lost our whole team. You know, it had like maybe four or five guys who were either current or former NHL players, but it was a KHL league out in Russia, and, you know, the league said they're going to move on, but that's crazy.
That's very sad. Like, for me, I was like, yo, this is too sad. Like, I wouldn't wish this on anybody unless it was the Oakland Raiders, then I wouldn't be, you know, the crashing, you know. Other than that, though,
it made you think about
that.
Like, you know, that happened to Marshall back in the day, university.
Yeah.
They lost it.
Yeah, that's crazy, though. Sad, though. So rest in peace to, you know, those players and, you know, our condolences go to their families. Austin and Doc Bay.
Yo, that's, I mean, I heard that almost happened with the Lakers. With what's his name? I want to say Jerry West and Elgin Baylor were on the flight.
Elgin Baylor, it was. I saw them in the NBA.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so like just hearing that, like seeing, I mean, 43 out of the 45 passengers dying, man. That's just sad, man. Really sad.
Actually, had some effect on the NHL because a number of those players had played in the NHL. And you know, just to echo everybody else's sentiments, you know, condolences to their families go out from the war room. So, you know, no way to kind of replace it, but yeah, it's tough.
Well, you're bringing down our anniversary episode.
I know. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, the next story I want to talk about, I'm sorry to keep bringing up all these tragedies, but did you guys see Maryland's uniforms the other night?
Yo, what are they?
I'm just going to open the floor. Yo. What are your opinions, yo?
Yo, first of all, that's Under Armour trying to be Nike. That's Maryland trying to be Oregon. And they took it too far. I personally think that the Maryland state flag is already ugly and it's doing too much. So to put that flag onto football uniforms is doing it even less justice than it does itself on an everyday basis. Like,
Lipstick on an ugly girl.
Did y'all get
on
that?
On the right side, it looked like a taxi cab, and the other side. Now, if the white and red side was the whole uniform, if both sides of the helmets had that on it, it'd be a pretty nice uniform. But they just went too far with the half and half thing, man.
Yeah, unless we talk about the Arnold Palmer, I don't know nothing about no half and half. That was trash.
Yo, it looked worse than a Gordon Gartrell. That's what it looked like.
Yo, all I know is Craig Seger is trying to get that suit made right now as we're talking. So we're gonna see if there's an NBA season, Craig will be rocking that. It reminded me of a story that I heard about the Maryland football team back, you know, when I was doing my thing. When I was nice, there was a young lady that they used to call the Go Terps girl. And so one side, exactly, whoa, one side of the uniform, man, I don't know where I was going with this. I just wanted to give a shout out to the Go Terps girl. and that uniform brought it all back.
I went here.
Yo. It was ugly. I don't know like what they were doing, but I can tell you one thing in terms of marketing. I haven't seen the Maryland football team get that much pub ever, because like all
they shouldn't.
You know,
they, why should
like,
they?
Hey, so if you talk about from a marketing standpoint, it worked. Next thing, Kobe had a Twitter account that was like pulled down. Dev, what's the story with Kobe and his Twitter account?
Well, they said he had his Twitter account opened, and the only tweet that came out said, "Can you hear me now?" But then the tweet, like 3 hours later, it came down because they think that somebody's actually doing it for Kobe. And he said he wanted to take it down so he can familiarize himself with Twitter a little more before he started using it. So, you know, he took the joint down after only one tweet. So that makes me think, though, like when it does come back up, is he going to be the one doing it? Because he didn't do that.
Yeah.
Is he going to be one of those people that got somebody tweeting for him?
He gonna know. What he going to do is he going to be like talking himself, and then if he say something he ain't got no business saying, he going to say it wasn't him.
Exactly.
He said
well,
the up already.
My account got hacked.
Like LeBron,
he's setting it up. Setting it up the way that McNabb used to set up the injuries so that if he had a bad game, they could say that his ribs was hurt. And then if he had a good game, he could take credit for playing with his I got you. Okay.
This is the anniversary show, and we came in blasting McNabb, so I see that, you know, that trend has continued.
Yeah.
I got one more story.
Kobe tweet, though. Like, what would he talk about? I think it will be somebody else, some little lackey tweet. Most of the time, probably.
Yo,
probably not all of them.
I want to ask you guys about one more story, just real fast. One more story.
Yo, if he hit another dream win on James Harden, he's going to have James Harden tweeting for him.
Come on, guys. Yo, the Jacksonville Jaguars, right, they have a practice squad player named Mike Lockley. During the preseason, he was assessed a $20,000 fine for an illegal hit on a Patriots wide receiver. The debt was then wiped away when he was cut from the team's roster at the end of the preseason. And if he had remained out of football, he wouldn't have had to pay. But what happened was he was re-signed to the practice squad this week. As soon as he got re-signed, the fine was reinstated. But the problem is he's a practice squad player who doesn't make that much money.
but Roger Goodell wants his dough. So what he did was he put him on a payment plan.
Damn.
My question is.
Yo,
Roger Goodell's like Sally May out this jaw. Yo, you can't get away from him, man. He won his bread.
First of all, like he's like a practice team player, 20 grand is going to be most of dude's salary after taxes. Yeah, how is it that serious? I mean, on one hand, I react like that, but on another hand, if we were to say something like, okay, they shouldn't have these kind of fines during the preseason because it's a lot of guys that's trying to make teams. If they took that out, then there might be a lot of dudes out there trying to kill people. But
yeah,
still, there has to be some other alternative for this. You know, the team may have to pay it. You know, it has to be some kind of alternative.
He put my man in the payment plan like Sally Mae, yo. Austin and Kill, what y'all got to say about this?
You are... Thank you.
Oh, nah. That's, I mean, he's trying to get his money. I guess he's trying to show that, okay, I can be flexible, even though he probably should lift the fine. He's like, well, I can show you I can be a little flexible. Dude can't afford it, so we'll put him on a payment plan, but you will be held accountable for your actions.
Yo, oh, man. That's the last story I have, man. That's what happened today. This week, while y'all were on the grind.
All right, cool, man. We're going to pass the rock real quick. I think I'm going to go ahead and start it off because I don't really have much to say. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and tell everybody.
Tell them why you're mad, sir. Tell them why you're mad, sir.
I really don't have a PTR this week, but since it is our one-year anniversary show and we are going to be giving shout-outs all throughout the show, I just want to take another quick minute to give another shout out to the fans because, like we said in our intro, you know, without you guys, we wouldn't be doing nothing here on the air because who would we talk to for 2 hours every Thursday? So I just want to thank you guys again for your support. You know, you support us on the merchandise, with our app, you know, on the Facebook page, the Twitter pages. You keep everything going, you keep everything running, and we just want to give you all another thank you. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and pass that rock to my man B. Austin so he can tell y'all what he got to say.
Dynasties are started with one season. So now as we step into the next season, we're going to take the dynasty to the next level. I want each and every listener out there that's within range of my voice to get up off of your chair, your couch, your floor, your bed, wherever you're sitting. Take a moment to walk into your bathroom, look into your mirror, and say, I'm not ashamed to say that I love the War Room. I'm not ashamed to say that the generals set the trends for me and educate me and give me my sports knowledge. Thank God for the War Room. And then I also want you to know that we at the War Room, we love you. We talk about you. We call you lemmings. We love you. And without you, we would be nothing. And so we hope that you stay with us and enjoy the ride of the 1,000-year reign of War Room Sports. I also want to take the time to thank and express my love for my brothers, my co-hosts.
What up, homie?
I appreciate you and look forward to 1,000 more years. How many episodes is that? That's about 50,000 episodes. Yeah. That's about what we're going to do.
Six. Let's get it. Six.
Yo, no Atlanta to that whole PTR, no Skittles. Go ahead, somebody take the mic.
I got it. Appreciate that, sir. First of all, I'd like to, with the PTR, give a shout-out to all the listeners and app downloaders and bloggers and people that read our newsletter and the tweets and Facebook and all the different forms and modes of communication and media and all the guests that we had, obviously. But also, in the world of sports, I like to touch on a couple of AFC South topics involving their quarterbacks. And as you all know, David Garrard was cut by the Jacksonville Jaguars on
Tuesday.
And check this out. He was – they had their annual kickoff luncheon where they're announcing the team and the Jaguars and what they're going to do and how everything's going to roll. Then all of a sudden, he's the starting quarterback. Then next thing you know, he's cut. I'm like, how are you going to let homie go to the luncheon as a starting quarterback ready to go, and then they cut him?
Damn!
Now, it was a fiscal decision because they saved $9 million on the salary cap, and hopefully Garrard is able to resurface. But that just seems a little bit dysfunctional from the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Now, in other news, we have Peyton Manning, as many have heard. He had neck problems, and he just recently had another surgery on his neck. And I would just like to say, let us remember the career of Peyton Manning, because there's a good chance, one, he may not come back, and two, he may never be the same Peyton Manning that we saw. Not that his brain won't work the way that it should, but he may not be able to play game in and game out, so with the power and velocity, because after his throw and his follow-through, that's where he feels the most pain in his neck. So if he's
my
unable
neck,
to make
my
that...
My back! My neck and my back!
Exactly. So if he's not able to make a full recovery, let's just remember and celebrate the career of Peyton Manning. And with that, I will come down with my left hand on the left side of the court, and I did this the other day in the gym, and I'm going to go between my legs. And the defender is a little bit smaller, a little bit quicker. So once I go left to right between my legs, he's going to lean and try to cut me off. And I'm going to cross him back over real quick right to left, Tim Hardaway style, once again.
Damn.
Then I'm going to go to the basket with the left hand. Then I'm going to go up for the layup left-handed. But then I'm going to throw a left hand around the head pass at the elbow.
Damn.
To Jimmy the blueprint.
Yo, before I get started, I want to give my shout-outs, yo. I want to shout-out everybody that personally told me how great I am and how they love when I do my PTR and how my blogs are the greatest thing on the Internet. I want you all to know that I agree with you. Anyway, what's up, War Room? This is Jimmy, a.k.a. the Blueprint, a.k.a. the Richest Man in Babylon, and I will be very, very brief. I just want to send a shout-out to one Albert Pujols for telling his boss that he wanted a raise. Now, Sports Illustrated is reporting that he turned down a 9-year, $195 million contract. That is a lot of chicken. But Albert stuck to his guns, Pauls, and said he wanted more money. Yo, Albert is off the Yelp bar. I wonder how Phil is turning down that kind of bread, because me personally, I couldn't do it. All I want to say to you, Albert, is I hope that you get the money that you are looking for. Because in the words of my Uncle Gordon Gekko, a fool and his money are lucky enough to get together in the first place. And with that being said, I'm nice, but you already knew that.
Hey, BJ, did you want to say something real quick, or are you good?
I just wanted to say, you know, real quick, in the words of my man Jason Phillips, this is the appreciation. We love you. You know what happened.
Word up, and that crowd goes wild.
Peter, you gotta hit him with the laugh.
Yeah, so. We at the War Room, y'all, want to give a shout-out to everybody who contributed to the show, either by guest hosting or doing specialized segments, from Victor Montgomery with the College Sports, Nyran Mercier with Philly and Fantasy Sports, Brent Easley with Baseball, Jermaine Favor with BCS, Danielle McNair, guest hosting for us, and Brandon Pemberton, guest hosting for us. We appreciate all that y'all have done for us and being there and helping us get to this point. So collectively, we say thank you. To get in contact with us, y'all can check out our website at www.warroomsports.com. While you're there, sign up for The War Report, our weekly newsletter, right from our homepage. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on that page. While you're still on the site, click on the Memorabilia tab, where you can buy cool War Room sports merchandise, and then click the Blog tab to read the latest sports articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Then you can click on the respective icons to like our Facebook page and to follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to and friend our YouTube channel at warroomsportstv.com. For access to all of our media content in one place, anywhere, anytime, download the War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple device. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or your Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make The War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about our show. Please subscribe to our iTunes podcast. You can listen to the show at any time on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with the host, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is basically like raising your hand, and who knows? War Room professors just might call on you. Kick it back out to you, Dad.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to give a couple of more shout-outs right now. Right now, I want to shout-out all the writers of the best blog in the business, the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Shout-out to my man Brandon Pemberton. That dude is a beast. Stephanie Curry, Monica Pierce, Naran Mercier, Jermaine Favor, Steven Wilder. He hooked us up on a little sports-slash-relationship blog that one time. Dee Slayton, Roy Burton from the Broad Street Line. What up, homie? Yeah. See you in the chat room. Jason Parker and Maggie Mangill. Also, I'd like to give a shout-out to our producer, Brandy McMillan. Thank you for all you do. So since we're reminiscing right now, you know, we got some music playing, a little reminisce. Let's go back a little bit, fellas, down memory lane, and let's talk about some of y'all. Let's talk about some memories from the first show and how, you know, the show compares from then to now, and then we can kind of talk about, you know, some of y'all's favorite moments throughout the year. The first show, I start off real quick. I started to be reminded of the first show when we were talking about Clarence Weatherspoon a few minutes ago, because on the first show when we did birthdays, and people don't know that the birthday segments are only supposed to be like 5 to 10 minutes long, and we talked about B.J. Armstrong on the very first show for a good... Yo, we had to talk about B.J. Armstrong for at least 8 minutes, and I don't think anybody has ever talked about B.J. Armstrong for 8 minutes the whole time he was in the NBA. So that's the first thing that stood out to me about the show, besides how different it sounded. It was the first, like, the segments we do in the first 30 minutes, they were real raw and real sloppy. But as I listened to the show, because I just listened to it again today, as I listened to the show got really good once we just got into our element of talking football. But what else do you guys remember about that?
Wasn't that also Elgin Baylor too, cuz?
Not on the first one. It was,
that was the first
B.J.
one.
Armstrong,
that was the second show.
Thunder Dan Marley, Shane Battier, who only got like 4 seconds because the rest of them dudes got too much. And one more person, I forgot.
Okay, because I know Elgin Baylor was in the first, second, or third show. I know we did Elgin Baylor, and we went on him for a minute too. And I was like, yo, because I listened to all the old shows too, because I like hearing myself talk. But you're right, though. The B.J. Armstrong was hilarious.
I put the YouTube video of that up on our page today, just so people who weren't down with the War Room back then, they could kind of see what we were doing back in the day.
Yeah. That's one thing I noticed about the show. It's just funny how we'll have a topic, like you mentioned, like say with birthdays, and they could be the smallest or most basic topic that you could think of, just a person, for example, and we can take it and it can like become like a half hour conversation. And that's just what's funny in terms of like when we first got started, like we figured, you know, we all have our own insight about sports. We love sports. We love to talk about sports. But sometimes you forget about or don't even realize the planning and preparation that goes into like doing a 2-hour show with five people all, you know, trying to weigh in and contribute and just, you know, be part of the show collectively. So it's just, it's interesting. Like, you think about it from the outside looking in, and it does, you don't even realize how much planning, preparation, and all that kind of stuff that goes into pulling off a show. So that's one thing that I look back and like, dang.
You're absolutely right, PJ, because you, in this 1 year, you don't know how many people, like, have approached us telling us that, yeah, we want to do that, you know, but they don't realize that. We don't just get on the radio and talk every week. You know what I'm saying? And we have to prepare all week. And like you said, with it being five of us and we all have a lot of opinions, we all wanted to weigh in, we actually had to, you know, sit down and make a plan of how we would do that without speaking over each other all the time. So it's definitely not.
And we still end up
because it's definitely not that easy.
We still get exuberant from time to time and speak over one another. I remember the first show just being so excited and so hyped, like all I could think about was my Uncle Ray and my Uncle B Doc, and I was just hyped. I felt like I was coming out the tunnel.
Can we come on to one of them?
Yeah, we came out the
show.
B Doc
came out the
dog.
God dog it.
And Jimmy was talking about how, you know, I get to come out the B-Dog. I get to talk trash for 2 hours and then football start. He kept saying, and football start tonight.
Yo, because it's the same thing. People don't realize that. It's just like I was listening to the Broad Street Lounge podcast. Shout out to them. And people don't realize this is literally the greatest, like, weekend of sports. Like, we argued before about March Madness and this, that, and the third. Yeah, I don't think nothing compares to the start of football season. And that's the great thing about our anniversary because, like, from here on out, as we do this show, it always falls on, like, the start of football season.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. It's always going to be a double show. It's going to be, you know, like you said, we're going to have that excitement because we got through another year. And then, like Jimmy kept saying, and football start tonight.
And football start, you already know.
Exactly.
Yeah. And back then, we had no idea what we were doing with the levels and the mics. I'm listening to the show, and everybody's at a different volume. Everybody sounds different. I barely hear you the whole time.
What'd you say?
I was saying I could barely hear you during the whole show, like when I listened back to it. So what's been some
he's
of y'all?
Excited. That's because he's doing cartwheels because, you know what I'm saying, B-Doc got him all high. People don't realize that, yo, B-Doc will make you catch a homicide, yo.
Yeah,
you lay it down for that dude. You were about to ask what are some of the moments that we remember through the year.
Yeah, but right after that.
It ain't no doggone tomorrow, fella. What are you going to bring to the doggone church? Are you going to put somebody in my mouth? Are you gonna do your doggone job? Are you gonna pray from your doggone chest? Are you gonna pray from your heart and see everything you doggone got? I'm gonna do that, and I'm gonna see everything I doggone got on every place. I need that tonight.
What was
that? Yo, that's what I listened to. That's what I listened to before I debate some of y'all on our Facebook page. That's why y'all can't win. That's why y'all can't
win. Yo, I need that on my alarm clock when I wake up in the morning, yo. I need that. I'm about to just put that on my alarm clock, man.
You're going to wake up swinging on people.
Yo.
I
remember distinctly some of the guests that PJ has brought to the show have been absolutely amazing. I don't even know how he gets them. Yo, some of the guests that you booked have been absolutely Yo,
who's been your favorite guest so far?
It's a tie, man. It's between Avery Johnson and Charlie Manuel, man. So those two, Vladimir, who's owner of the
billionaire? I mean, billions of dollars, billions of money.
Billions of
Yo, I think Avery, hey, PJ, we got Avery on the line now. He wanted to say something about the anniversary.
Yeah, hold on a sec. Avery, you there?
Hey, guys. Hey, how's everybody doing there at the war room? Hey, guys,
hey,
I knew that this anniversary was coming today, and I figured, I got to call in because, a lot of people don't understand. I heard y'all had alluded to earlier that it takes a lot of preparation to get to this level. There were times when I would tell some of my old teammates, like David, the Admiral Robinson, I used to say, hey, Big 5-0, David, when the guys get to doing the preparation for a series, you have to start before the series, but I'm not going to get too long-winded. I just wanted to call in, and say congratulations, guys. Keep it up. I would like to hear about 10 more years at least while I still got my hearing. That's just, some inside humor. But I'm going
to
need you
guys. Pass the phone to Charlie Manuel, man. Pass the phone
to Charlie. Okay, hold on. I think I got Charlie. Hey, Charlie! Charles! Come here, the phone. The war room is right here. Come on down the hallway. This guy's so old. Hey,
hey, guys, glad you guys, I was over there with Chase Hartley, that guy, he get all the ladies. I said, hey, Chase, you hitting that? He said, yeah, Charlie, I'm hitting it. I said, I'll beat it up. I tell everybody when I get a chance. I let them know, I will beat it up. Don't put it in front of me. Oh, but you know what? This is the anniversary, guys. I just want to say, hey, look, if you're going to do it, do it well. And, I'm glad you got it here so far to a point where you, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, the war room anniversary. I just want to say congratulations. I love you guys. You're doing a great job, y'all my homies.
Charlie Manuel.
Some of my favorite. Chuck Manuel. But some of the stuff that I remember. Do y'all remember the. First of all, remember when Monica called in that time after Jimmy was crushing Brett Favre and she called in and said that the boy was a dirty bum? She said she hoped that a defense killed him on the field so she wouldn't have to worry about him anymore.
I think that's what happened too,
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm in tears right now. My fault, y'all. I apologize.
I was about to say when we had the greatest basketball player of all time conversation, and Jimmy wrote that dissertation about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, my junk gonna get published one day, B. That junk, I wrote like 8 pages, I did so much research, I need to get a book on that.
I definitely
brought a knife to a bazooka fight because I was just ready to say, it's Michael Jeffrey Jordan, and that's it. And he rolled out with all of these facts and statistics, and I got ambushed.
I know that's educated me on some stuff regarding Big Reem, because I didn't even know. I mean, I knew he was the dude, but I didn't know he was really that dude because you don't hear nothing about it because of his religious beliefs. They don't put him out there like that. But go ahead, Kel.
Yeah, I was going to say, one of my memories, as we bring up Kareem, what came to mind was, hey, yo, Jimmy, where those Kareem stacks, B?
Shout out to Jay.
Yo, Jay had lines and phrases for days, man, like stuff like, Myra. Myra, you know how I know? Because she's the jump off, you know how I know? That she about to that Melo about to go to New York is because I used to want to hit her in high school,
Yeah,
he was fast.
Sound like Rico. He sound like Rico.
I think one of the best, when I think back, I think one of the best PTRs, I mean, there were so many great ones, but I think one of the best ones had to have been Brad's AI Can't Get a Run, because, I mean, just the...
Started it all.
It was a long jaunt, too. It was like 7 minutes, but every bar was hilarious, because the comparisons to say, yo, you mean to tell me this is the case, but my man AI Can't Get a Run. Like, you got these bums on teams, but AI Can't Get a Run. That breakdown was hilarious because that was classic, and I think that buzz from that one PTR, like, created a stir for, like, months.
Yeah, and what's crazy about that is...
Stepped up our internet presence that
day. Yo, did it, because I was on websites, and, like, they had, like, forums. Like, I know it was a forum on All Hip Hop where they were, like, doing Brad's whole spiel. Like, one person would say something, and then they would follow it up with, but, hey, I can't get it right.
Yo, it was a hashtag on Twitter.
Yeah, yep. AI, but AI can't get it run. Like,
it was trending. That jump
was
trending.
That's crazy, man. Shout out to Bubba Chuck, too, while we at it.
Yo, shout out to my man AI, because, like, I was dead serious, and I'm still dead serious, because it's cats in the league, man, that, yo, they just don't belong there. Man. Like, yo, why did Rick Brunson have a job for so long, and my man AI can't get a run? And Rick wasn't a bum, but, I mean, come on. Anthony Carter. Come on. Yo, don't take me back there.
No doubt.
I still think one of the better overall episodes was the end of the year joint we did, you know, right before New Year's, because we got to talk about, since we had only been on the air since September, we got to talk about a whole lot of stories from prior to when we got on the air. And We just had a lot of topics that night, and the whole show, we was just firing. It was a nice show, man.
Yeah.
I listen back to that joint sometimes, like, damn, them dudes nice.
how about PJ, like, roasting my man Stir Fry to the point they got him out of town?
Yo, let me tell you something. That one came straight from the heart, because, like, that Dimitri Patterson, that one and the Jason Peters, I think because of my exotic Eagles fandom. I may overdo it sometimes, but I was so mad.
All the fights you're going to have in your life, and you choose this one. Yo, I think about that all the time and be dying. Like, yo, because that applies to, like,
yo,
so many people on so many levels.
Dimitri Patterson's another cat, and it's not to knock him per se, like, personally, but you mean to tell me that that's the most talented cat you could get to put out there?
Yo, I told y'all, like, around week nine last year, they did an article of the best corner tandems in the league, and I swear to y'all that Asante Samuel and Dimitri Patterson was number three on that list at that time. So somebody, you know, besides the Philadelphia Eagles, thought that dude was good for a little while during the season.
Nah, I'm going
to
tell you what it is. Yo, you know what it is, though,
Seth? A lot of times
they base that on production. That's kind of like, that's like your man, like the boy down here in D.C., Hall. He's not good. He's not good at all, but he gets so many picks. That's all people see, and that's what they equate to being good. They don't look at the fact that he gave up the most 80-yard bombs in a decade. They just say, oh, well, he had a lot of picks.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Like, PJ roasted him to the point they got him out of town.
He said the ball
gave 5-yard cushions at the 1-yard line. Hilarious.
He gave a 10-yard cushion and a 1-yard line. And I forgot what receiver it was, but the receiver took one step and caught the touchdown. Literally.
Turned around.
And didn't mean you're going to run up and tackle him after he and his.
I remember that play. I know that play. And when he broke on the ball, the ball caught the ball and then smacked him down like he was his little brother.
Yeah, and I guarantee that wasn't the route. Dude just saw the cushion and just, you know.
Right. And then he
peeled
exactly
off. Like, yeah. Yo. But, this was one of the funny moments on the show, and I want to give a shout out to, you know, all my Redskin fans down in Washington, D.C.
Hail to the Redskins. Hail us on the warpath. Losing for old D.C. Rumble, pick, we're sore. We don't want to be there.
points and eagles soar. Get down, lay down, till they have won. Daughters of Washington. Rah, rah, rah. Fail to the foreskins. Fail in defeat. Frauds on the warpath. ODC.
Yo, we can't leave out our Cowboy fans.
Turn out the lights. The Cowboy season's over. That all good things must end.
Bums ain't good.
Let's call it a night. The season's over. And the next season starts the same old thing again.
Yo, what's up with your remix album, yo?
I be inspired, buddy.
Brad got a country singing game. He about to be on what's the name's record label, man? He's about to be on Carrie Collins' record label.
Oh, man.
But, man, so many memories.
Hey, what about Herb Adderley talking about that Deion wouldn't, if it was between him and Deion, he'd have took Deion's spot.
Oh, yeah.
It was interesting.
First of all, not even what he said. First of all, the fact that we had Herb Adderley on the show and the station, Block Talk, they didn't even realize the magnitude of the guests that we had that night. You know, because we got Hall of Fame NFL players on the show, and they're giving, like, features to, like, D-list celebrities. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Talk to him.
Yo, Herb Adderley was a lot of cats' hero, too. Like, you hear, like, DBs from, like, the 80s and 90s. Like, yo, they know the boy Herb, man.
He had major game. Yo, we just spoke somebody up. Somebody on the line that wants to holler at us, yo.
Go to my man Jay. Jay, what up, man? What's going on?
Now I gotta go with what y'all saying. If Jay ain't Rico in your mama suave.
What's going on, brother?
What's up, Jay?
What's up, Jay? Yo, what up, Jay? Not at all, man. They on the bigger and better things, man. They on the mellow status. I'm just a trying to get in there, you dig?
Hey, Jay, you know what? We got to give you some credit because you told us a while ago that Mello, before Mello came to New York, you said Mello was coming to New York and you had the inside scoop as to why he was coming. And sure enough.
That's because he had the inside scoop that I was trying to scoop out. See what I'm saying?
So y'all were trying to scoop. y'all trying to scoop the same piece of ice cream.
Exactly.
Y'all were trying to scoop the same insides.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, his pocket is longer than mine, so he got the inside scoop. You know, I just got
balls.
Hey, Jay, while we got you on the line, who your picks? Who's going to the Super Bowl this year? Who's going to win it?
You know what, man? I'm a Giants and I'm a Jets fan because I do a home team. But right now, real talk, I'm thinking Jets and Eagles.
Really?
Okay.
That's what's up.
You know, man, I'm going to be real with you. I'm not an Eagles
fan. Dream team.
Who you got winning? Who you think going to win that match? Yeah.
Well, you know, as I said, I'm a Jets and Giants fan, so I'm gonna go Jets, but I'm gonna keep it real. Ever since Vic humiliated the Giants on that comeback win last year and almost had me having high blood pressure and heart attack, dude, I became a Vic fan. So I'm gonna be real with you. It's in the air. I would like my Jets to win it, but Vic is tough, bro. Vic learned to run after being chased by Pitts. Before he was laying him down, I guess he was getting chased by Pitts. The dude is no joke scrambling. So I'm going to keep it just in the air. I will pull for my Jets. But it's in the head, man. I you know, Vic is too talented, man. Dude did that jail time. He probably was running in there too. But I'm saying, you know. The dude was running in the shower, because when he scrambled on them germs, it looked like he was running in the shower. He dropped the soap, and they came at him, and he was running in the shower. But, you know, that's neither here or there, but, you know, it's going to be a good game if that happens. But I don't see the Giants going anywhere, because, you know, Eli Manning is too damn soft, man. He got picked because of his last name, because he's a Manning. And in all reality, it's neither Eli nor Archie will ever be what Peyton was or Peyton is. So, you know, I feel like the Giants should have took a chance on Vic because Eli's soft as hell. He's soft as pudding. So.
All right, Jay, that's what's up, man. Thanks for calling, man. We're going to move on. We're going to be talking football in like 5 minutes.
I'll be on the line, player. But look, man, congratulations on that 1 year. Keep doing it big. Do y'all thing. And when I call from now on, it's going to be Rico and your mama Suave. So, you know, you got my new business. And then, you know, I'm going to holler at y'all.
That's what's up. All right, homie.
All right, easy.
All right, Jay.
Oh, man. He always got something quotable.
Yeah.
He always got a quotable because he's hilarious, man.
All right, but yeah, before we move on, I just wanted to mention that I had this in the back of my mind, that when we did the show about the greatest basketball movies of all time,
yeah,
that show to me, like, it kind of epitomized what we do, because when you listen back to that show, it's basically like we forgot that we were on the air and we were just being us talking, because we started talking about Shep, And Jesus Shuttlesworth versus Billy Ho and Sidney Dean, and then we started talking about the Wolf winning a 1-on-1, and it was, the conversation just got crazy, and it's like, I just really think at that moment we all just forgot that we were on the radio, and
I think
doing
all
like
I,
we do when we're sitting around.
That's a great point, Dev, because I think all of the great shows, you know, when we get into it, which is, I would say, almost every show, you forget you on the air, man. You forget.
Yeah.
You just rapping with the brothers and getting it in. I recall us talking about a non-sports topic, which is Tyler Perry. I thought that was a great show. We opened up to a whole new audience and brought some new listeners into the war room.
Phone lines blew up that night because people don't like when you talk negative about Tyler Perry. I mean, Perry.
Shout out to Tyler Perry for letting us get new fans. All the Allens out there listening.
Tyler Perry?
Dude. All right, so, yeah, right after this next little round of shout outs, we're going to get into this NFL preview. So, Jimmy, you can go ahead and take that away. And if anybody. Y'all can call in now if you got some stuff, some NFL stuff to get off your chest. That number is 323-410-0012. We off our little reminiscing kick, and we about to talk some sports. So holler at us.
You already know it's time to talk some pigskin, yo. Listen, though. Before I say anything, I want to let everybody know that it's a game tonight, so don't forget to set your fantasy lineups. And if you're not in the pick'em pool, make sure you join our pick'em pool so you can put your picks in for this evening. With that being said, guys, you ready to talk some football?
Facebook. That's on the Facebook page. You got one last round of shout-outs you wanted to give, though, right?
Yeah, we want to give
absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I'm all about giving a shout-out. We want to give a shout-out to all the special guests who spared some time to come bust it up with your boys in the war room. Singer and songwriter Lauren White, ESPN's Rob Parker, entrepreneur and former Playboy Bunny DeVita Sullivan, fashion designer Imani Damali, author Michelle Toller, and filmmaker and philanthropist Omar McGee. Shout out to all of you for, you know, coming through and spending some time with us.
Hey, yo, I want to give a shout out to my main man, Hall of Fame cornerback Herb Adderley. We appreciate you stopping by and dropping some gems on us. Filmmaker Greg Lanzi, Chasing 3000. New York Rangers sports writer Andrew Gropes. Relationship blogger Stephen Wilder, and MC Esquire, Howard University alum, Tracy Lee. Thanks, all of y'all.
Okay, okay. And I'd like to give a shout-out to physical therapist Hadassah Roberts and Paula Kim, international pro basketball players Lou White, David Knowles, Jared Stevens, and the homie Michael Jordan from the crib, as in Philly, and former NBA player Mitchell Butler. Good looking out, y'all.
That's right. We gotta have ownership, like my man Mitch Butler say. We need ownership, y'all.
Money making Mitch.
You already know. It's about that time for some football, though, y'all.
Yes, sir.
Sir.
Yo, we're gonna go through each division, and we're gonna go over who you believe will win it, who's gonna be surprise team. You know, we're just gonna go through each division one by one, starting with the AFC East. Hey, Dev, Tom Brady recently had some comments on Randy Moss. What was that about, yo?
Oh, yeah. Brady came out and said he would welcome Moss back with open arms. He was saying Moss was one of the greatest receivers of all time, and he was one of the greatest guys he ever played with. And he's like, you know, you play here and guys come and go. And, you know, if we had the opportunity, I would welcome him back with open arms. So, you know, y'all.
Even though, in the words of PJ, Moss said that the people of New England don't want him to do good.
I think that's a little crazy, because you went out and you signed essentially a high priced, notable receiver in Chad Johnson, and mama named him Johnson. I'm gonna call him Johnson. And so, you know, you have to question, well, how does that make Chad feel? And in the locker room, Brady probably smoothed that over, or maybe he didn't. I don't know. But you've got Chad, but you're pining about someone who was cut. You want him back. So how does that look? You know, that's the real question.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. But, I mean, at the same time, whoever's on the other side of Chad, that's who I'd be worried about, because he, you know, he probably thinking about pairing these guys up as opposed to, you know, him replacing Chad. But I get your point, though. How does that make Chad feel? Pause. But let's talk about the division.
Chad was all excited to play with his boy T.O., so, you know, I guess
he jumped in the whole Batman and Robin thing, so I don't know what's next.
He got the LeBrons. He liked to be with his friends and have friends and whatnot.
He liked to do hood rat stuff with his friends. But, yo, let's talk about the division overall. What do you guys think about the AFC East in terms of who's going to win it, who's going to be a surprise team, if any? Or just let's go through the whole division.
Well, I basically think, and I'm sure most will agree, that the AFC East is going to be a two-horse race this year. You got, you know, the loudmouth Rex Ryan over there with all his promises every year. This is the third year in a row that he promised they were going to win the Super Bowl. So I heard a joke today that he was a three-time defending champion of saying we're going to win the Super Bowl this year, but haven't really won it.
Mm-hmm.
Rex Ryan has been known to put a foot in his mouth.
Yeah, the Patriots stepped it up on the defensive end. That's crazy. The Patriots, they stepped it up on the defensive end with Andre Carter, Albert Haynesworth, a couple other guys that they added over there.
Sean Ellis.
Though they got rid of Merriweather. That was a surprising move to me. But in my opinion, I still think it's the Patriots division. I think the Jets will finish second in that division, and they'll most definitely take the wild card in the AFC and have to work from there. But this is my thing. I don't want to get too long-winded. The Jets, in my opinion, will not live up to their promise as long as Mark Sanchez is the quarterback. Mark Sanchez is not a superstar. They're trying to make him one with the GQ spreads and all that. He needs to be in practice somewhere. That I'll take.
Yeah.
Dude is still going to be the reason that they don't get over the hump.
You said he's not a superstar. I would ask you, is he really even a star? You know, in terms of his play.
not in terms of. He's a star socially.
He gets that star moniker artificially because of the fact that when everybody talks about him, they say, well, he's been to two AFC championship games. And there's so much wrapped around that that and I'm surprised that I see football analysts say this, you know, and they try to make it as if he's on the cusp of being upper echelon just because of that. But, I mean, there's more to it. I mean, shoot, you can also think back.
I think he's utilizing him. And the NFL is marketing him to the Latino and Hispanic population. That's what
True. Hey, I got a question. Do y'all think I got a question and a statement. The statement is, and some New York fans are calling him Sanchez, like in franchise, they're calling him Mark Sanchez. And two, the question is, do y'all think that he is better than David Garrard?
Wow.
Was that called him David Gaffrod?
Garrard is the, because there's a lot of people who kind of overrate Garrard. I think he's the check down king of the world. But well, I was about to say we'll get to that in the NFC South, but he no longer plays in the NFC South, so I guess we could talk about him now.
Real quick though, you guys are talking about the Patriots and Jets. What about the Dolphins and Bills? Who's going to finish in last?
We'll get to that because for me, I got the Dolphins and I got the Dolphins ahead of the Jets. I got the Dolphins coming in and getting a wild card.
Damn!
Getting a wild
the
card?
Dolphins like, ahead of the Jets? Okay.
Yeah,
we got
to
record it now,
y'all. Yeah,
no,
I got New England 12-4 because it's kind of like, yo, guess daddy's back. And I got the Dolphins 10-6. And I got the Jets 9-7, and them losing based on Rex Ryan's mouth writing checks his team can't cash.
See, but I think the Dolphins, and actually, if y'all listen back to the very first episode, Brad was talking about the Dolphins last year, too. But I think they're kind of in the same boat. They're like the poor man's Jets because they have nice weapons on offense. You got Brandon Marshall, you got Brian Hartline, you got some good receivers. The new rookie running
Reggie
back
Bush now.
Is good. And then
Reggie
they got Reggie Bush backing him up, who, you
Yo,
know, can be a
threat. I heard that rookie running back is, like, stinking it up in practice, stinking it up in preseason.
He tweaked his hamstring or something, too. But
yeah, that's the cap of it. That's
what
the
cap I was about to say about them,
playing.
They have all these weapons, Jimmy, but what is Chad Henne going to do? You know what I mean?
That's great. It's great you pointed that out. It's great you pointed Chad Henne is not a great quarterback, a star by any means, but he is what I think he is, which is a serviceable to good starting QB who is better than Sanchez.
Is he better than Garrard?
Everybody trying to
think Garrard. We're going to put Garrard on every team tonight, yo.
I know. Jimmy, I've seen flag football quarterbacks that can do what Garrard does. I've seen flag football. If you're going to go out, if you're going to take a snap, drop back 5 steps, roll a little bit, and then throw a check down as your real primary read, I mean, I know a lot of people that can do that.
McNabb made a career out of doing that.
Yeah, they're the same
anyway.
Player. And I was
yeah.
Anyway. Made a career
doing
that.
Yo, so Chad Henne is garbage. Chad Henne is garbage.
The doctor has spoken.
Sound like Bayon disagrees with you, Austin. No, but
yeah.
For me, y'all can say y'all's. For me, I got the NFC, the AFC East, Patriots, Jets, Dolphins, and the Bills bringing up the rear. Not really sold on Fitzpatrick. Stevie Johnson is a nice little weapon. Never really was too big of a fan of the running back, Fred Jackson. CJ
My man,
Spiller.
CJ Spiller, man.
When is he going to get his shot, though? And why isn't he getting his shot? Is it him? You know, is he not doing what he's supposed to be? Like, because I swore he was going to be at the top of that depth chart this year.
Me and you both. That's why he's on my fantasy team as a backup.
Yo, who's the Buffalo? Who's the Buffalo Bills? Is Frank Reich starting? Or is it Jim Kelly?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
No, it's still
man.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Who's he?
The Hobbit.
I'm gonna give you my rundown.
I got the Patriots in first, the Jets in second. I got the Bills in third, and I got the Dolphins bringing up the rear.
Yeah.
Ew.
Y'all be pooping on my man from Central Pennsylvania, Chad Henne.
I got him third. So do we all agree that the Patriots are going to win that division?
Of course.
Yeah.
I got the
consensus.
Because if so,
No doubt. We can move on to another division.
Hey, yo, FYI, with Chad Henne, so far his ratings are on par with Joey Harrington at 75. He had a 75 quarterback rating the last 9 years. And he has yet to throw more TDs than interceptions.
Is he better than Sanchez?
Is Andy Joe Namath?
Nah, he's not better than – well, you know what? Sanchez is a little bit better than him. You know what? Sanchez doesn't make as many mistakes. There you go. Sanchez doesn't do anything for you, but he doesn't make mistakes.
Looking at Sanchez's line versus the Dolphins' line, we can name Sanchez's line because they're Pro Bowlers. The Dolphins just got a bunch of fat guys that line up in front of Duke.
So why are you picking the Dolphins to finish ahead of the Jets, I ask you, if they don't have a better line?
Defensively, I think they're solid, and I think that line will improve this year.
You don't think the Jets are solid defensively?
Jets going to be.
I think the Jets are overrated. I think the Jets are overrated defensively.
Okay. All right.
You can do a lot of things.
Listen, man, we got you on tape, man. I got the tape.
Yeah, you got me on tape. Let me say this. Outside of Buddy Ryan, when you got an over blitz. Yeah, it gets on ESPN, but you're covering up for something. Great teams
possible,
don't have
but
to
I mean,
send the house
at the
all
end
the time.
Of the day, they've been the two straight AFC chips. I mean, they haven't won anything, but at the, you know.
I got another theory that kind of, you know, goes against what you just said. Because what you just said is absolutely true. You know, when you're blitzing a lot, you may be covering up something. But at the same time, when you got cats like Revis out on the edges, you can blitz just for the hell of it because you know stuff is on lockdown, you know, down the field.
Revis is injured, and Cromartie, I don't want to call Cromartie overrated, but he has some deficiencies playing shorter routes, and I don't know who their safeties are. Jim Leonard, Lenhart, I don't know. So I'm not convinced.
All right, you know, you made your pick. You're rolling with the Dolphins, but, you know, we got you. We got the tape. Anyway, let's talk about another division.
Let's talk about AFC North.
Man, we probably have a consensus. I don't know. Maybe we won't have a consensus in this division. Let's see. Let's go around the table and see what people think about the AFC North.
All right. Yo, cool. I'll go. I got the Ravens coming in first. With the Steelers coming in second, Cleveland a close third. I expect Cleveland to be better than people expect. I can see Cleveland being above 500, and I see the Cincinnati Bengals winning like one game, going 1-15.
I don't see Pittsburgh relinquishing the hold on that division quite yet. I actually think the Ravens are going the other way. I don't think they're going to be a bad team, but I think the Ravens are, you know, they're on the decline right now. You know, as much as we all love Ray Lewis, you know, Ray Lewis and Uncle Ed back there aren't any younger. To me, Joe Flacco is overrated. You know, he's the guy that they keep talking about. He's coming into his own. He's, you know, he has so much potential, this and that. Joe Flacco is overrated to me, and I think he needs to do a little bit more for that team to get over the hump.
Is David Garrard better than Joe Flacco?
Sanchez.
No.
Quarterback has to do more.
Hey, Dev. Yeah. I think Ray has something to say about that.
I realize that we are considered in most circles to be sports experts, and therefore we need to have an objective and unbiased opinion. But if Uncle Ray was standing in front of me,
I'm not picking nobody against dude, man. And so I ain't going to do it behind his back either. So I ain't going to say no. I don't see him slowing down. I see him hitting just as hard. But with all that said, he is one player. I agree with Dev. I think Pittsburgh got that division sewn up. I think the Ravens will be the number two in that division, but you got to count on more than Ed, Ray, and Haloti Ngata. I mean, you need their corners. Their corners. They got the rookie who's supposed to be really, really nice, but he is a rookie, and I don't know who's on the other side of him. Terrell Suggs usually balls, but he's a lot more mouth. He reminds me of Joey Porter, a lot of mouth, a lot of talent, but questionable as to whether he's going to show up every game. So, you know, I would go Pittsburgh, Ravens, Cleveland, and I think the Bengals are going to be 0-16 or somewhere around there.
Think Andy Dalton can hold it down?
Who?
Nah.
Their quarterback.
Yo, the Andy Dalton can hold it down.
I got the same thing as pretty much everybody else. Well, I still pick the Ravens. I'm not picking the Ravens. I got the Steelers, Ravens, Browns, and Bengals. I think the Browns may be around 500. The young man Colt McCoy looks like he's going to be a player. Like, I watched him play in the preseason a lot, and he makes the right reads. He plays very smart, so I think he's going to be a player. In the future. So I think the Browns are up and coming team, but I think the Steelers still hold on to this division, and you know the Ravens will be in second in the wild card again.
Yeah, I'm with Jimmy.
Yeah,
I got round three. Go ahead, PJ.
No, I was just going to say I got the same the same order. I got Pittsburgh.
Same sandwich.
I think the Ravens are
like
too long in the tooth right now.
Yeah, I like the Browns.
Game manager.
Because like Jimmy said, the boy, Colt McCoy, is probably going to be pretty good. They got Madden covered, dude, but because of that, he might be dead around week six. and we got Joe Hayden on the other side. He's going to be one of the best corners in the league in the next year. The Browns are doing well. They don't have much in the area of wide receiver, though. And Joshua Cribb.
My man, welcome home, Joshua.
Joshua Cribb might as well retire.
I'm kidding.
His services are no longer needed in the game.
No, Jimmy, have you ever looked on a college roster, particularly like Penn State, Ohio State, Temple, and you see beside the person their position is listed as athlete? that's Joshua Cribb. He's not a wide receiver. He doesn't really have a position.
Yo, but is he better than David Guerrero? So, no, anyway, let's move on to another division real quick, though. Let's talk about the AFC South, because there's been a lot of, noise being made in this division with, Peyton and the aforementioned Gerard, Hasselbeck, and y'all man Trussell, a.k.a. Twitter Vest. So what do you guys think about this division? Is it the Texans' turn or what?
I got everybody.
Like
go ahead. I was going to say, this might be a division where everybody goes like 8-8, or it's like you got like a 9-6-1, and then like a 8-8, and then like a 7-9, and then a 7-9. I got everybody just fumbling their way to the finish line, because I don't think the Texans are going to live up to the expectations that they should be. The Titans, they might be 8-8. You know, everybody, Jacksonville, it's just going to be a big mediocre division.
Phil, I absolutely agree with you. Like, I do not believe in the Texans, but I think with all the movement in this division at the quarterback position in the last week, I think the division has been handed to them. But before we found out Peyton, his season may be in jeopardy, and Gerard got cut at the last minute. I mean, I didn't think they were going to win the division anyway, but I would have still given the division to the Colts up until this morning, when they pretty much told us Peyton's season may be in jeopardy. So right now, I'm going to go to, like Austin said, I'm going to give it to the Texans by default. I really don't think this was the year that they were going to live up to their potential, though, but it's being handed to them. But don't be like, I still, because, I'm not sure of how long dude is going to be out, or because the Colts are still a talented team. And if they can get something going, they can change the offense enough that Terry Collins can get comfortable. They can still make a run at this division just because I don't think the Texans are all that
Terry,
good.
Terry Collins is a 4,000-yard passer, not once but twice.
But don't sleep on the Titans, though, because, you know, Hasselbeck has never been a bad quarterback. And if he can have sort of a rebirth down there with Kenny Britt and Chris Johnson and, you know, that line, they got one of the best lines in football, the Titans might be able to sneak up and do something. And I think all the movement in this division is because of Peyton Manning's neck. That's crazy.
That is further proof of how valuable Peyton Manning is, not only to his squad, as he's the best offensive player and the best defensive player, but to the league. Yo, he moved an entire division. And, yo, Indianapolis Colts and Irsay, you guys are fools for having built your team the way that you did. I just wanted to get that off.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, that's exactly what it is. The team is built. For Peyton. I mean, if you look at, like, they have weapons, but the weapons are predicated upon, like, his play. So you're absolutely right. They're unlike
any
other franchise.
And I look at that. I don't even look at that being just on the offensive side of the ball. I look at that on defense as well, because it's been well documented.
I agree.
They are built for the Colts to be up by no less than 10 points so that they can just get after the quarterback and flow to the ball. Because they're
totally
in a situation
agree with Maul. Did you hear about the Vegas line?
No.
Indy were one-point favorites. They were one-point favorites in Houston.
Now they're down eight.
Ruled Peyton out, they became 8.5-point underdogs. So this dude shifted the line 9.5 points. And I was listening to a lot of Vegas experts saying that never in my 30 years of doing this have I ever seen one player shift the line that much. Now,
well,
this
you know
could
why?
Be
that's because,
in everybody's mind.
That's because,
you know, they could
well, that's because the
hard.
Way the line works is they want to get the betting to be even on both sides. So when the Colts were 1-point favorites, all the money was going the other way. In order for them to shift the money, they have to make a drastic change. Because too much money was going on the other side. They have to even it out. That's how the line works. But the thing about it is, Austin, you are exactly right. I don't think there's any other team in the league that is built upon one player the way they are. Even if you think
that
Brady is better, the team is not built around Brady the way that they're built around Peyton.
Right, right. Yeah, you can bring Matt Castle in and go 11-5. So, I definitely with all that being said, I'm gonna pick the Texans to win the division. Because, I mean, weapon-wise, Arian Foster, you know, he's shown me enough for me to say that he's a quality, big-time back. You know, Andre Johnson, the greatest wide receiver in the game today. They've got some weapons. They've got a lot of weapons. So, Texans, I will go with the Colts, and I'll go with the Tennessee Titans at third. And Jacksonville doesn't even matter to me, so whatever.
Yeah, that's the same way I have it. But I could easily flip the Titans and the Colts if Peyton doesn't come back. But at the same time, I have a feeling that team may show a bit of pride this season because everybody's telling them how garbage they are without Peyton. And we don't know that because he's never missed a game. So we can really all think that, but he's never missed a game, so we don't know if they're garbage without Peyton, so we're about to find out. Go ahead, Jim.
Joseph Addai is fragile. I think that if he was a healthy dude, what he gives you could get you one or two wins. I think that defense, as you say, Dev, with pride, even though they're little guys, because, you know, I play safety and Dwight Freeman plays DN, and we're only about 15 pounds apart. But I think that on a prideful level, you're right, they could, because they're not bums. They don't have bums by any stretch, but they're just little on defense, man. They are so small.
Next man
Reggie
up.
Reggie Wayne.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Reggie
that's
Wayne
like,
don't want
like
to
taking...
catch no.
Go ahead, Peter.
No, I was just going to say Reggie Wayne don't want to catch no passes from Kerry Collins, so he might just drop it and come his way.
Is it because he's a racist?
Nah, because Kerry Collins was home writing lyrics and was about to put an album out when they called him.
Reggie Wayne said he want to play with Curtis.
Curtis Painter, yo. Reggie said that, and Curtis came out and stunk it up.
I know, he embarrassed Reggie. Reggie like took his back, pause, and he came out and like made Reggie look like a fool.
And then Curtis did what I did in flag football when they let me play quarterback. I threw it to Kill 5 straight times.
Yo, he went to Reggie like 5. Yo, but the thing about it is the Colts without Peyton, it's like somebody taking their car to Philly Auto Design. Shout out to them. They getting all kinds of rims and all kinds of features for their car, but they don't have an engine. So they do have great parts, but without the engine, it don't matter what they got around.
True indeed.
Let's
do that.
So basically, in my opinion, I got the Texans, the Colts, the Titans, and the Jaguars. And I think the Jaguars, at the end of this season, will have to, like, look for a new coach because that stunt that Jack Del Rio pulled was crazy. But when you think about it, that's the same thing that he did to Leftwich. That's how Garrard got the job. He cut Leftwich, like, 2 minutes before the season started.
Yeah. No, but think about it, though. I hear that they had a little bit of dissension between Garrard and the coach. But I'm kind of thinking this may not have been his move. Because remember, he has an ultimatum. They gave him this publicly. You either make the playoffs or you get fired. So even if, you know, he doesn't have time to – I mean, because Luke McCown's going to start for now, but we all know Blaine Gabbert's going to be at the helm sometime this season. That's what the move for. But if your job is on the line for a playoff run, you don't have time to be developing the first-round pick. So why would Jack Del Rio get rid of his only chance of making the playoffs?
I think he went to Career Builder, and he got a little bit of help with his resume. So he figures, I'm just going to, you know, spend this season, like, you know, sending my resume
looking
out for
a job.
Coordinator job. Yeah, he's going to get a coordinator job or something because, I mean,
he's either doing that. Either he's doing that or management wants him fired because they're going to say, make the playoffs.
That's what it is, Dad. That's what it is.
Make the playoffs or get fired, but I'm going to take away your starting quarterback, so I'm going to make it a little harder for you. So I don't know who.
Yeah, you want to prove to me you deserve this job. Win without your quarterback.
Yo, they're trying to make him do the impossible like Broadway Joe. All
right, well, let's go on to the West. How the West was won.
Absolutely. How the West was won. How the West was won. Anybody, I mean, you know, I'll take this first if you want to. Of course I got the Chargers. I got to keep it real. Of course I'm a Broncos fan, but I'm just got to be honest, yo. The Chargers, I don't think they'll start off slow like they do every damn year. But you never know with them. I say that every year. Like, there's no way they can start off slow again. I got the Chargers winning the division with the Chiefs coming in second, my Broncos in third, and the Raiders to go 0-16. So, you know, anybody else want to weigh in on the AFC West?
Yeah, I got the Chargers.
You said
the Raiders.
The Raiders. I'll never pick them in the game ever.
I got the Chargers, the Chiefs. I got the Raiders probably somewhere around 5-11, and I got the Broncos winning like 3 games.
All right. Well, I'm not drinking the Chief Aid. I think they, you know, fall back to where they need to fall back to this year. I got the Chargers winning the division. They got some key players coming back. You got a healthy Antonio Gates. You got Vincent Jackson. I mean, the dude Phillip Rivers threw for 4,700 yards and 30 touchdowns, you know, with an injured Gates and no Jackson.
And Legadoo.
So Phillip Rivers,
you know who I am.
My fantasy quarterback is probably going to destroy things this year. So I got the Chargers winning that division probably pretty easy. But bringing up the second place, I got the Raiders. I don't know why I have any faith in an Al Davis-led team, but, you know, they did sweep the AFC West last year. They just couldn't win
outside. Who's their quarterback?
Jason Campbell.
You know, I asked that for a reason. I don't think he's going to be their quarterback all year.
Then I got the Chiefs at 3, and I got Jimmy's Broncos bringing up the rear. I mean, it's a lot of what Jimmy says himself because, you know, even though Orton is a serviceable quarterback and he puts up pretty decent numbers, he's not that game changer that's going to win games for you. He's going to do his part, but he's not going to do anything extra that's just going to win games for you. And I just think that team was left. I think John Fox was left with a with a nice job to do with the Broncos before they get back.
If I see Josh McDaniel in the street, we gonna have a rumble, yo. Real talk. Mouse, no homo.
Got the Chargers winning.
No doubt. Hey, PJ, you got your opinion, good brother?
Yeah, I got the Chargers bringing it up the rock, number one. Then I got the Chiefs behind them. Then I have the Broncos, and then I have the Raiders. I don't
pretty
know the Raiders. The Raiders got a lot of fast athletes, man, but the organization something about it's like they're cursed. It's just they never put it all together. But like that said, they did sweep that division last year. So we'll see. But I think mainly I got the Chargers coming out.
Because I got the same thing you got, Dev. You said you don't believe in the Chiefs?
No, I got them third, but I don't believe, you know, because they made the playoffs and won the division last year. But I don't,
they won the division last year, yeah.
Yeah, I think Castle's a pretty good quarterback, and, you know, they have a nice running game with Jamal Charles, and is Popeye still there?
Thomas Jones.
Yeah.
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 And,
so they got the nice
about to get married to Megan Good.
Yeah,
and
like,
they got Dwayne Bowe.
Who?
Yeah,
Thomas Jones
see.
Married to Megan Good?
Dwayne Bowe. Yeah.
Hold up. Yeah, I know. I don't see a bunch of weaknesses on the Chiefs. Like, I'm not saying, like, they're bad or anything. I don't know. I just don't see them, you know, being at the top of the division like that again. I might be stretching it saying that the Raiders are going to finish in front of them, but the Chiefs are definitely, in my opinion, not going to win the division again this year.
No doubt. I respect that. And in my other league, I got Phillip Rivers as a quarterback, too. That's my keeper. I'm in the keeper league, so shout out to you for taking him from me in the NFL league. But anyway.
Hey, yo, I got mine real quick. I got San Diego winning it. I got San Diego winning it. I got Jimmy's Broncos coming in second in the division. And then I got the Chiefs. I got the Chiefs coming in third, having a letdown this year. And then I have the Raiders. Raiders and the Chiefs may tie with like 6-10, 6-10.
What makes you believe in the Broncos when the Broncos don't believe in themselves?
I think Kyle Orton, John Fox and Kyle Orton's intestinal fortitude. I think he has something to prove to show people, like, yo, I'm the man. Screw Tebow.
Okay. I think the Broncos are going to get more pressure on the quarterback this year because Dumerville's back and they got the rookie Von Miller. So if he can live up to what he's supposed to be, the Broncos are going to have some quarterbacks.
I think we're going in the right direction because we're building on the defensive side as opposed to, like, just getting a bunch of, like, monkeys on the offensive side. So we're going in the right direction, but we shall see how it plays out. Because Dumerville's a beast. Yeah, Redskinning. Redskinning go out and spend bread on whoever. Anyway, let's go to the NFC, yo. Let's talk some NFC football. Which division? We can talk about. You want to go to the East first? You want to save the East for last? Let's save the East for last. Let's talk about another division. Let's talk about the NFC North with the Super Bowl champions in it. Do you think they'll repeat, or do you think that Donovan McNabb has swung all the power to the Minnesota Vikings?
Donovan got taken to the house. Donovan.
He ain't swung nothing but bad karma to the Minnesota Vikings.
I'm passing to AP, yo. AP don't realize how his career has just went and regressed.
I think it's actually an easy repeat for the Packers because, remember, the Packers made their run last year with, like, 16 people on the IR. And, you know, five of those cats were, like, cornerstones of their team. So
starters,
So to make the kind of run that they made then, I think if they get their full team back healthy, I think they're going to smack that division around a little bit. There's a lot of people that's high on the Detroit Lions right now. And, you know, while I do believe that Detroit will and has improved, I don't see them making the playoffs. And I still have them coming in third. So I'm going to go Packers, Bears, Lions, and then who the hell?
The McNabs.
The Vikings.
The Minnesota
McNabs.
I want to see how Cutler bounces back, yo.
Yeah, they got
see
two point
shows.
Guards in Minnesota, though, Jimmy.
I want to see two point guards.
You got the best bounce pass, and you got Adrian Peterson with the best handle. So
let me go through this.
Yeah, let me holler at you for a minute.
Green, I watched Aaron Rodgers play this preseason, and what it reminded me of, what he does with a football is what the Harlem Globetrotters do with a basketball. Yo.
They play with it.
He was just like, let me throw it in between these five people. Let me bounce it off my elbow and put a touch pass over the top to Jermichael Finley. Let me scamper here for about 5 yards and just step out. Yo, he was playing.
Yo, so you're saying Aaron Rodgers is the Curly Neal of football? He's the Meadowlark Lemon?
Yo.
Of the NFL?
I'm not going to front. Like, I have my brother is a Packers fan, so I always want to root against, but I cannot root against Aaron Rodgers. Like, dude has the hit factor, too. Like, and especially since he came out and started talking dirty about Mark Sanchez, I was like, yo. Aaron Rodgers is my homie. By the way, Mark Sanchez played.
And Aaron Rodgers was like, yeah, I ain't with all that. He's like, I ain't looking for no extra attention on the off season. You know, I just come out, do my work, blah, blah, blah. You know, he's basically calling him a pretty boy, prima donna.
And look where Rodgers is and look where Sanchez is.
By the way he plays and the way he raps, yo, Sanchez shouldn't say anything back, but thank you, Mr. Rodgers, for the inspiration. I appreciate any and all criticism from you. That's all you can say back. I got Green Bay. I got the Bears. I got the Bears actually at 10-6, and six of those losses will be squarely on the shoulders of their quarterback throwing the ball to the other team. I got the Detroit Lions, I think they'll be third, but I think that Ndamukong Suh and the boys and Negatron will get them to like a winning season. I think they'll be 9-7 in that third place. And then let's talk about the Vikings. Yo, they went from one aging quarterback who should have retired to one of the most fraudulent athletes of our century. At quarterback,
damn,
and it's just like, yo, I think the farther away that McNabb gets from his dad Andy, the more kryptonite will be in his drinks, and the more he will be exposed. So it's not the system; it's definitely him. I don't care how many times he tries to force the ball to Harvin, yo, it will fail in Minnesota. So
well,
I got him.
He's a year late. Getting to Minnesota, had he gotten there last year, he would have played with Brad Childress. And he still, Brad Childress would have run some of that offense that used to hide his deficiencies all those years in Philly.
Yeah.
He's a year late.
But, Dev, I kind of have with you. I have the Packers in first. I actually have the Bears and Lions both finishing at around 9-7. And I have the Vikings bringing up the rear. So I think that the Lions and Bears will be tied for second, and I think the Bears may win in the tiebreaker. But I want to see how Cutler's going to bounce back. I want to see if he, like, you know, if he shows anything and says, look, you know, I'm coming back, you know, stronger, or is he going to, like, fold and his career is going to go in a taller from this point on. I want to see how he bounces back. I mean,
I got the ball having a monster regular season, but I don't think it's going to be in the long run.
Okay.
I got the boy having a monster regular season, but I don't think it'll mean nothing in the long run.
Okay, got you.
Yo, he throws the ball to the other team.
Yeah, not only that, he really doesn't have any receivers either. Like, he's throwing to Devin Hester, who's listed as just 8 on a depth chart, and it says 8.
Listen,
he doesn't have any.
APE.
They got Roy Williams. They got. Yo, the Bears got all the old Cowboys. They got Roy Williams.
Well, like
they
I
got
said,
Sam
like
Hurd,
I said, he,
they got Marion
like I
Barber.
Said, he doesn't have any receivers. Yo, Roy Williams got other issues, man. He's trying to get that money back from that chick.
Yo,
but yo, that's
I let Roy live, but Sam Hurd, Sam Hurd's not better than anybody on the phone.
Hey, yo, check this out, though. Why in the last 2 years, it seems like teams just get a bunch of Cowboys, like Cincinnati, like added like 5 or 6 Cowboys to their roster last year, and then like the Bears had, and like, what's up with that, man? It's crazy.
And how does that work out for
them? Cowboys come in bundles.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Cowboy bundle
right now, y'all. Because I on Facebook said, my bad, Obama killing y'all momentum. So he must be on TV hating.
Shout out to Obama for giving $400 billion to first responders, teachers, and somebody else. So that's what's up.
All right,
comes from our educator. He want to get his piece of change.
We talking football.
When did the president come on
before prime time? Dude did this before football started.
In the North, I got the Packers. I don't really see anything stopping them. I think they are a damn train on their way to the Super Bowl, at least getting there. And then coming up, see, I think the Lions, a lot of their success hinges on Matthew Stafford and his health and his damn crazy shoulders. So, I mean, I don't know. I think I got the Packers 1. I got the Bears 2. I think the Bears are going to be around 10-6. I got the Lions right behind them at like 9-7, 8-8. And the Vikings, I just don't have any faith in Donovan. I think, honestly, Brad said it best. I think the farther McNabb gets away from Andy, the more exposure of his T-Rex ball-bouncing, overthrowing, goofy mouth, just that whole thing is just going to get exposed. Andy is a genius to hide that. Andy was a genius to hide that for so many years.
Hey, PJ.
So.
I don't think you believe in your Bears pick because you straight hit us with the Jay-Z whisper flow. You was like, in the Bears school. You was like, the Packers are going to win the
But here's the thing. The only reason I say the Bears 10-6 is because that division, I think that since you still got the Lions, like, we're not exactly sure what they're going to be, and the Vikings regressing, I think they'll have an opportunity to beat up on at least those two teams. I think they're going to lose twice to the Packers, but
I mean
the Bears still have a good amount of players. Like, their defense is still respectable. I mean, their defense is still, I think, a better defense than it's in the top.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, they still get a good pass rush. So, I mean, I don't know. And you know,
yeah.
I love.
And it was just last Thanksgiving, Jimmy, that I was PTRing about. You know, while the Lions are still on TV every year, so they got to show and prove, because you know,
hey, yo.
Just like the Texans, you can have all of the so-called experts saying that you're going to break out this year, you're going to break out that year, but until you actually do it, you're still the Detroit Lions. So,
but you know, if they keep predicting that, eventually when they break through, they're going to look like they knew what they was talking about. People forget that they predicted it 4 straight years.
Yeah, you got to be good one day.
Yeah.
In that case, I'm on the Bengals bandwagon. Yo, the Bengals are going to do good.
Mm-hmm. Before 2020.
Yo, I got a, hey, not to hold y'all, but I got a, the same thing. Like, Packers 1, Bears 2, Lions 3, and the Vikings 4. But I do have to say with the Vikings, let's say, you know, the Vikings do fail as we predict, what is going to be the excuse for the McNabb protectionist?
He ain't no receivers.
You know the excuses are going to come.
He needed Sidney Rice, because Sidney Rice ain't there. That's the whole reason that McNabb couldn't succeed.
You know what, though? I'm a counter that. My counterpunch is already loaded up and ready, because you have arguably the best running back in the league, and it's not arguable that dude is top three. So you've got a top three back. So there's no excuses for McNabb. Adrian Peterson puts up numbers, alibi with fumbles, against 8- and 9-man fronts. So McNabb has no excuses, man. He can throw the ball to us on single coverage. Come on, man. I don't want to hear that. You got HP.
All right, well, let's move on to a whole different division. So we can get through a division, because we talk football, yo. Let's talk about the NFC South. Did anybody hear Bo Jackson's comments on Cam?
Bo don't know football.
Yo, he said he has that new bank he got opened up.
He said he has the arm strength of Elway and Marino combined. He has the power to run over you like Earl Campbell. Bo Jackson threw himself in there, and Jerome Bettis. Then he said he can leap buildings in a single bound. And then he said his Sloan was there. Yo, Bo was going a little too far.
Did he say, hey, Dev, did he say, hey, Cam, move over. I'm trying to get a little bit higher up on your schlong.
Exactly. Like, yo, Bo, come on, man. So
you juggling, dog. Damn.
Really, like, the Panthers don't really need to get any more airtime than that because they're coming up last. I think it's going to be a really tough division because they have three good teams in it, the Bucs, Falcons, and Saints. But while everybody thinks this is Atlanta's year, it's another thing. I think Matt Ryan's good. I think he's better than Flacco. I don't look at him in the same light as Flacco, but I still think people overrate him a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Learn to win on the road and not just at home, and then maybe I'll start giving you some props. But he does have some weapons out there because Roddy White on the other side of him, he got Julio Jones out there now. They still got Black Tony Gonzalez. They got the little bowling ball Turner in the backfield. So
well, let me ask you a question.
Good.
Is Matt Ryan better than David Garrard?
Yeah. So I got, but in a surprise move, I got the champs from 2 years ago kind of coming back to form. Drew Brees going to have a good year and not throw so many interceptions. Pierre Thomas is back. So I'm going to go with the Saints winning that division. Falcons coming in second. Bucks and then the Panthers bringing up the rear.
Yeah, that's a tough division. That's a tough division.
Yeah, that's tough.
I don't even see. Yo, I'm like switching my opinion as I like talk right now. I got the Saints.
You know, Jim,
first.
your favorite homie is Raheem. Though I know you're gonna get them.
I know
a
that's
nice
what
plate.
I'm saying. Like you can't go against Raheem. Yo, Raheem's from 25th and Diamond. Yo,
we love you, Raheem.
Yo, I'm like, I agree with that. The Saints made moves, so I gotta put the Saints in first. I gotta go the Bucks in second. The Falcons in third, and the Panthers bringing up the rear. Got to, because it's tough, man. I think the Buccaneers are on the way up. Like, you know, Josh Freeman's going to be a player. And, you know, also I have one of their players on my team in terms of the running back. Anyway, go ahead.
I agree, man. Like, I've always agreed. Me and Dev have always agreed about the Atlanta Falcons, man. Even last year, like Luther Vandross, his curl. It never curled. The Falcons never, like they never really, they won at home. They were dominant in that dome. But they never, I just never felt like they were as good as everybody made them. And Matt Ryan, like, he's better than a game manager. He is better than Flacco. But I don't know, and then when the damn Packers got a hold of them, they just beat them dudes up at home.
You remember that? We were saying that when we were on our little retreat last year.
In the cabin, yes.
And the game came on and just proved us right because they
exactly.
Dudes.
So I like, yeah, man. So I like the Saints. I like the Saints, and I think I'm gonna go with Jimmy, man. I like Tampa Bay. I think Raheem is gonna get them dudes in line and inspire him, dudes, like he inspired the little the crackheads that pump rock. I mean, the dope boys that pump rock for him. So I got in third place. I got the Falcons, and then I got Cam Newton and them bringing up the rear.
Yo,
well, let me ask y'all guys a question because y'all put to the side. But go ahead, Austin. Let you go first. Go ahead.
Who that gonna beat those things? Who that gonna beat those? Yo, Drew Brees, another one get you hyped. And he lined up against an archer at 15 yards. The archer went 7 for 10 on bullseyes. Drew Brees went 10 for 10. So that tells you about his accuracy. I think the Saints are back in terms of being a dominant force, and they're going to make some noise this year. They're not going to go to the bowl. I got them one in the division. I'm going to go with the Bucks. In a surprise. Atlanta drops to third, and Bo Jackson, you know, did everything to beat the Panthers Chiefs. That's going to be their crowning moment.
Hey, Brad, like you said about Drew Brees, he's one dude that throws people open. Like, he's so accurate, he'll throw you open even if you're not open.
Hey, speaking of which, I got mine is similar, except I got the Saints winning the division, Atlanta coming in two. Then I got the Buccaneers coming in third at about 9-7. And then I got Carolina coming in last. But one thing Bo Jackson didn't say, he didn't mention anything about accuracy or reading the defense. You know, so basically he can throw real far, he can run over people, and he's fast. So basically you're saying he's good for running a reverse passes, pitch outs, and catching passes or in the backfield. He didn't mention anything that had to do with quarterbacking. So
that's his Al Davis evaluation. That's how Al Davis evaluates players, quarterbacks.
Jackson,
yeah. Bo Jackson did.
He basically came out and was like, well, Cam Newton is a...
Hey, PJ, I don't think it was his Al Davis evaluation. I think that was his John Amici evaluation.
Let's move on to another division, though, because we're running out of time. We got 10 minutes left, so let's speed this up. Just give me your picks for the NFC West, Kevin Cobb's division.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go real quick.
Everybody's going to be 7-9.
Nah, hey, let's go with Arizona. Arizona winning the division with the Seahawks coming in second. The Seahawks, Rams, and 49ers will all have the same record, and Arizona will win. But the Seahawks, Rams, and 49ers will not make the playoffs. They'll all be like 7-9.
I honestly think the division is going to be better than people think. I think that all the teams are on making the right moves in terms of getting better in the future, but I think the Rams may shock people and win this division, yo.
Don't have them start on Sunday, player.
I think it's going to be a three-horse race. I think the Seahawks aren't going to make any noise to me. I think it's going to be a three-horse race between the Niners, the Cardinals, and the Rams. I think the Rams will probably drop off near the end. I got the Niners winning the division, even though I have no faith in Alex Smith. But sometimes, for some reason, I always try to hold out, like, dude might actually become good one day. And then I got the Cardinals coming in second. That could easily flip-flop because they're unknown right now because I don't know how Cobb is going to look in that offense.
Yo, when you think about it, Cobb right now might be the best quarterback in that division, and he just got there.
I know.
He is to me.
I think he is the best quarterback.
Let me tell you something.
My Indian homie, Sam Bradford, Tavares Jackson is a bum.
Tavares Jackson is trash. Like, I think that he's stupid, he can't read defenses, he's inaccurate, he makes bad decisions, there aren't too many players that frustrate me, there are a few, but there aren't too many non-Eagles that frustrate me. Tavares Jackson is a bum. I'm going to tell y'all know he's a bum. I'm going to tell you, he's a bum. And I think that the Seahawks will win 3 games this year because of his trashness. And I think that Kevin Cobb is, to me, the best quarterback in that division. And I do have the Cardinals 1. Coming up number 2, I think I'm going to go with the 49ers. Like, Alex Smith, though, like Dev said, is a little – he scares me.
That's
the reason I'm taking the Rams, just because of Sam Bradford over Alex Smith. I think the Rams will
come
up on Cardinals, too. But that can flip-flop, too.
To me, it's a
two-horse race, Dev. Rams and Cardinals.
I'm going Bradford to Amendola. First of all, I think everybody in this division is going to lose. I think they'll all be 0-16, but I'm going Bradford to Amendola. So I'm going with the Rams at 1. I'm going with Arizona number 2. I'm going with San Francisco number 3. And unless it's Warren Moon, Randall Cunningham, or occasionally Byron Leftwich, I'm not picking for a black quarterback right now, particularly if his name is the Garbage Jackson. Mm-hmm. No, can't do it.
Let's move on to the NFC East, yo. A lot of stuff's going on there. Of course, the Eagles made all their moves. T.O. wants to be an Eagle.
We've spoken about this division pretty much beforehand anyway. So, me, I'm going to just list mine. I'm going to go Eagles, Cowboys, Giants, Redskins. Giants got a lot of injuries to overcome. I got the Redskins coming up, pulling up the rear, but I do have them beating the Giants this weekend. That's NFC East.
Yo, same. Hey, yo, I got the same as Dev. Eagles, Cowboys, Giants, Redskins. But I don't think the Cowboys would be as good as everybody's expected. Like, we might just sneak in at the playoffs at 9-7, maybe 10-6, or maybe 9-6-1, like the Eagles did that year. So,
yeah, I agree. I got the same.
I'm going to pull it up here. Eagles. Oh, go ahead, Jimmy.
So I'm just saying, I pretty much have the same thing as Dev. Eagles, Cowboys, Giants, Redskins. I think the Eagles will win the division. I don't think there'll be any wild card team out of this division. I think the NFC South is where all the noise will be made. That's like the best division in football at this point.
I'm an Eagles fan. I live and die with them. So it's very difficult for me to do this. But for some reason, I feel like the Giants are going to win this division.
Damn!
The Giants?
The Giants, the Eagles, damn. Dallas, and the Skins. And I hope that I'm wrong. I've never wished to be more wrong in my life.
We know you. We know that, man. You ain't got to throw the disclaimer. We know you hope that that's wrong. We know you ain't against them. Hey, so if everybody, hurry up and throw that out so we can do our playoff picks real quick. Last thing, everybody out your playoff picks and then throw out your pick for tonight's game. Did everybody do the NFC East yet?
Yeah, we all did.
All right, well, I'll start. I'll go, of course, I got Patriots, Pittsburgh, Texans. I got the Jets and the Ravens getting the wild card in the AFC. I got the Bears and the Falcons getting the wild card in the NFC. I got the Packers and Saints in the NFC Championship game with the Packers advancing back to the Super Bowl. And I got the Patriots and the Steelers in the AFC. And I got the Packers repeating over the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Tonight's game, they playing in Green Bay. Give me the Packers tonight too. Packers all day.
Yo, I'm gonna be real brief with this. I think the Super Bowl is boring as it may sound. I think the bowl is the Packers and Steelers again, all over again. But this time, actually, I think the Steelers will win the bowl. Steelers and Packers in a close game. The Steelers will win the Super Bowl. In terms of the wild card, I also have the Ravens. And I don't even think it matters who else it is because I just gave my Super Bowl predictions, so why am I working backwards? But that's pretty much it. I got the Steelers winning the chip.
Hey, yo, real quick, I'm going to just do four. I'm going to just go AFC and NFC Championship. I got the Cardinals beating the Saints in the NFC Championship going to the Super Bowl.
Damn.
In the AFC, I got the Patriots beating the Steelers as a wild card with the Ravens winning the division. I got Patriots beating the Steelers. And then I got, the Patriots beating the Cardinals in the Super Bowl.
Yo, Kevin Cobb go to the Super Bowl? Oh, my God. That would be hilarious.
I got to see my four is.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I got the in the AFC Championship game, I got the Jets and the Patriots. I got the Patriots beating the Jets, finally. And in the NFC, yo, I got to go with my heart. I got the Eagles and the Packers, and somehow, cuz, the Eagles are going to win. Then the Eagles are going to be in the Super Bowl against the Patriots again. And guess what?
You can't say that. The Eagles
is going to win that job. Then I'm going to wake up happy. I'm going to wake up happy for my dream. I'm going to be crip walking after my dream. It's like, no. But that's what I'm going with, y'all. Eagles, Patriots, right. Eagles winning.
Austin, hurry up.
I got the Giants versus the Packers in the NFC East title game. I got the Patriots versus the Steelers. Patriots-Steelers. Then I got the Patriots in the Super Bowl versus the Packers. And I got, Daddy's back. That's all I got to say, man.
Daddy's home.
Right. Well, we have fun. Hit them up, Jim.
You already know. Thanks, everybody, for celebrating with us in the war room this evening. We've enjoyed entertaining you for the past year and look forward to many more to come. Special thanks again to all our loyal listeners because without you, we couldn't do what we do. So tune in next week, same time, same place, as we break down and recap week one of the NFL season and preview week two. And, of course, we get you caught up on all the big stories of the week in sports. Until next week, everybody. Set your lineups, and we will howl.
Yeah. Yo, it's been a great run.
Slow down, baby. Slow down, baby. Slow down, baby. Yeah. Slow down, baby. Yeah, LL Cool J.
Slow down, baby.
PMD is back, snap the neck, cash and large check. Over non-believers can coach
slow down, baby.
You know what I'm saying? Cause this is slow Daddy Mac, king of the Bozak. All my friends
slow down, baby.
Stack. Mix the math down.
Down.
As I slow kick down, it like
baby.
This. slow down, baby. You can get rugged, tough, hard like tea. Try to play my man, but you couldn't touch me, you faggot. No con rapper on a quest. To get your head flown, boy, you mustn't look a step. Cause many off and wonder is MD paid. You goddamn right, punk, stay out of my way. Cause I clock G's while you clock Z's, and I don't smoke crack. I smoke MCs, so pick up a pen, cop a squat, and take notes. My rapper suffer from bleeding, sprains, and slip toes. Cause my style, deadly psychopath, schizophrenic. A rapper choke like a carpenter, freeze up a panic. Cause I clock pesos, don't say yay, yo. Another word for cocaine, mi amigo, that's Spanish. Terminology for friend. Now sit back and rob my Bozak as I sin. Bass funk, repeats that thump. For kickers and amps, co lined up in my trunk. My system cranking my headlights, a blinking brothers riding my tip L. And at the same time, thinking, damn. How could a brother be so nice? Cause I'm the capital. P.E. twice, M.D.E. twice. I choose to squeeze, some choose to fight. I like the right, but then again, some bite. And while you was banging on tables, I was banging Snow White.
Yeah. Slow down, baby. Yeah. Slow down, baby. Yeah. Slow down, baby. Slow down, baby.
The ripper, the master, the overlordian, playing MCs like an old accordion. I get the inspiration from a necessary station. I'm saying I was vacationing. You can't quote with your weaker throat, trying to sneak a peek at how I freak the notes. Major MCs become minor B flat. So retire the mic, get your chains in your back. Here's your chance to advance. Get in your stance or shoot the holster off your cowboy pants. Pure entertainment, tonight's your arraignment. You're guilty, face down on the pavement. No holes barred, it's time to get scarred. You and your squad better praise the real God, the Undertaker. Drop the thunder on fakers. When it comes to lyrics, I'm a freaky a faker. So lay the mic down slow and careful, cause mine is fully loaded and I got another handful. A clip to flip it and start ripping, diving and dipping and giving punks a whipping. Just in case you wanna go a few rounds or so, I'm down so that's clowns. No, me getting burst to hurt won't be tolerated. I got rhymes up the hurt, forget it, I'm constipated. L, slow down, baby. Slow down, baby. Slow down, baby.
When I come around, homeboy, watch a nugget. I'm master on the beat down, my style's rugged. When I attack the microphone, close the zone. Rap scene's danger, can't roam. Security's packed in walls, so war can't fall. A rap tank is full, so I can't store. A microphone is filled with premium. Any whack MC that flexes, I'm creaming them. Not with lotion, bust the motion, flow taste them. When I rock on the mic, I'm like coasting. I'm unique, fatigue, at my peak, you still seek a style, cause yours extra weak. New method, to rip the stage of my A's and get loose and kick like Bruce. I'm on the rim.
Slow down, baby. Slow down, baby.